live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Communication Workers Union says a three-day delivery service would destroy Royal Mail. It's after Ofcom said the postal service needs reform, with a reduction to the number of letter delivery days one of the options being considered. Storm Jocelyn has brought fresh travel disruption to much of the UK. Our reporter Edward Breslin has been braving the storm in North Yorkshire.
Hot on the heels of Storm Isha, Storm Jocelyn has been battering many parts of the UK overnight. There's a yellow weather warning for wind in place this morning from the Met Office covering much of the country. Train services in Scotland have been suspended since 7pm last night, and there have been flights cancelled at both Glasgow and Dublin airports. Storm Jocelyn is expected to ease off through the course of today.
And Ryan Gosling has expressed his disappointment after Barbie co-star Margot Robbie and director Greta Gerwig were snubbed in two major categories during the Oscar nominations. Gosling was himself nominated for his role as Ken. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Will Cole.
Mrs. Riley is concerned about the price of everything. The Admiral tells her that she could actually save money.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
That she could cover her home, car and van on one insurance policy, Admiral Multicover.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
And save up to £374.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
Seems Mrs. Riley is Riley pleased with Admiral Multicover. Oh, can I try that line again, please? In a six-month period, 10% of Multicover customers saved at least £374. See admiral.com for more.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Hello. I'm Dr. Sheon Bakare. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. Don't let the worry of cancer play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Until you find out, you can't rule it out. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
With UK Export Finance, I'm fulfilling more export orders from around the world with working capital support.
Export insurance means I'll get paid when exporting to challenging markets.
At UK Export Finance, we believe no viable UK export should fail for lack of finance or insurance. Between 2022 and 2023, we provided £6.5 billion of government-backed trade finance to support UK exports. Learn how we could help you win export contracts, fulfil orders and get paid. Search UK Export Finance today.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Once you with me, girl, you can't have another. Put up on the gas, but to press the button. Pull up on your girl, and I'ma another. Leave it in, stay right there. Usually I don't say this so soon, you know I'm all in.
Let me jump right in.
Can we put our phones down?
Like me, yeah.
Nobody but you and me. You and me.
I'm a beast.
taxes can I send it? How many times you gon' have me spend it? The block if I knock, you won't let me in. I'm ready to rock if you're trying to lock in. You're acting like you don't know that I'm him. I've been direct, you ain't even on film. That you keep it player, but I ain't no sim. It's time for the plan to end. Cause every time that I'm out in the city, you hit my line saying, baby, come get me. Last time we tried, you said I was too lit. Yeah. I can't afford to be on dummy missions. No, if you call me, then I come through. And I put it down, what you gon' do?
Pick it up, pick it up.
You keep talking about how you move. If I put it down, what you gon' do? When I start, but you can't finish. Texting me all them pictures. If I can't touch it, then don't send it. All that talking, I ain't with it. Unless you really gon' do something. Then I'll be there around two summers. I've been waiting for you for like two summers. Make sure you got my number. Every time that I'm out in the city, you hit my line saying, baby, come get me. Last time we tried, you said I was too litty. I can't afford to be on dummy missions. No.
Laughing at your dish, knowing I'm sure like big check, high tech. I ain't got a force, you capping. Bring me all that ass and watch you lose it, abuse it. And I ain't gonna stop you, the illest. I kill it, I promise. As hot as the summer, you feel it. I beat till it's numb and you want more of it. Smack it, you say you're it. Grab it, eat it, become my little addict. Have it your way, full play, up fake all day. All around the house, in the hallway. Pick it up,
pick it up, pick it up.
I'm trying to make it shoot, so don't hit me with the pump
if
fake.
You call me, come on, then I'll come through. And I put it down, what you gon' do?
Pick it up, pick it up.
You keep talking about how you move.
Yeah.
If I put it down, what you gon' do?
Come on.
Pick it up, pick it up.
The Business Mix Show.
Afternoon and a very good evening to you lovelies. Welcome to the Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
And my name is Rachel. And welcome to Business Mix. Another, should I say, another Business Mix show.
Yes.
Another colourful week where we're here bringing you the best in all things UK black business, basically, correct?
Indeed, indeed. And why am I so joyful? I'm happy today. It's a good thing.
You're allowed to be joyful.
I am, right?
No reason. Just be joyful. Enjoy. Enjoy it.
How's it going, my dear?
It has been actually non-stop, I feel like, since we've come back from the new year. It's like everybody's been like, go, go, go. We've got some events that we're going to be...
yes, already.
UN doing, you know, some grown-up serious.
Yeah, we're already booked, girl.
We're booked and busy. Was it busy and booked? I don't know what the young people say.
Which other way? That's what we are.
How it goes. We've got some great guests lined up. Kind of like for the next, kind of like couple of months, really.
We have been on it like Sonic.
We need like a revolving door in the studio, and people just jump in and jump out.
Just like that.
Good. It's all good. We are looking forward to 2024.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for the show today. I'm so happy. This is somebody who I've kind of spoken about and I've kind of like name dropped on the show a couple of times, talking about different things, kind of stuff in the beauty, hair and beauty industry. And I'm really excited today that I can...
Are you?
Yes, I am. That I can introduce the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented Keisha Davis, who is a freelance copywriter and journalist. Welcome to the business.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
A drum roll.
Thank you.
Oh no, we can't hear you. What did you say?
But hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, awesome. You're welcome. It's great. How has your new year started, Keisha? How's it been?
The new year has started really well. I'm really ready to go this year in terms of my work output, which I'm sure we'll get into as the conversation progresses. And yeah, even though the weather's really grey, dismal, and I had to deal with a fence that blew down yesterday in the storm, mm-hmm. I'm still just trying to be really, as you said, joyful and optimistic about what's to come. So yeah, I'm all good.
Fantastic. Thank you. So in case the introduction didn't give you any clues, today's show, we're actually speaking about copywriting, writing. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, you know, it was just used to be, what are we need to write something. We need to send out a newsletter. Then it kind of got to, oh, we need to construct an email. Then it's like, oh, now we need a caption for kind of Instagram. Oh, we need some text for the website. All that kind of stuff, which as entrepreneurs and as business owners, we kind of somehow muddle through.
Especially if you're a lone person with no team.
If you're a solopreneur, you just get it done, probably whilst you're sweeping up and cleaning and doing your tax return at the same time. However, there is a whole group, a network of great individuals, professionals with a vast truckload of experience. You can actually take that off your hands and do it for you. So, we thought we'd invite Keisha on to give us a little bit of an insight into, number one, what does it mean? What is copywriting? And do we really need someone to do it for us? And if so, how do we kind of find the best person that can help us? But before we get into the kind of nuts and bolts of it all, we want to find out a bit more about you, Keisha. Tell us briefly, I guess, introduce yourself. I kind of giving it away about what you do, but what kind of services do you actually offer for your clients?
Okay, thank you for the lovely introduction, by the way. I should have mentioned that earlier. So as you stated, I am a copywriter and freelance journalist who specializes in hair and beauty. Previous to this, maybe 7 years ago almost, I was the editor of Black Hair magazine, which I'm sure many of you will be familiar with. It had been around for like 20 years. Absolutely. So I was editing the magazine, writing the copy, editing the content that people submitted to me, organizing photo shoots. We were doing a lot because we were quite a small team. In 2017, the magazine closed down. Like, you know, a lot of publications have kind of had to close down due to the prominence of social media and online magazines and so forth.
Yeah.
So I saw an opportunity, though, because I'd kind of built up a network of contacts within that manage hair brands. And they were kind of approaching me to do their copywriting. So to write their press releases, write their social media captions, newsletters and so forth. And I thought, yeah, I can specialize. I can kind of position myself as an expert in Afro hair or textured hair and offer my services, my writing services for brand owners, for hairstylists, for individuals, like you said, solopreneurs who just launched their brands and need someone to offer a helping hand with regards to their writing.
Yeah, and so you kind of just took a leap of faith, I guess, and thought, give this a go.
Absolutely. I'd been wanting to go freelance for maybe about 5 years, maybe not 5 years, maybe 3 years prior to me taking the leap. Mm-hmm. And that's for a number of reasons, really. And I think the most crucial one was that kind of freedom I needed. I'm a mother of two, and as you know, a lot of mums know, juggling your work responsibilities with childcare was really difficult. Mm. And there'll be times like, for instance, my son was sick with like a cold or a cough, and I would dread having to tell my boss that I can't come in today. Things like getting the morning off to go and see your child's school play, just the little things that really grate at me. And I'm like, I have to give this a go. And I'm just so glad I did. I'm, 6 years strong now? Almost 7 years well going done. Strong. And it's just been incredible, an incredible ride. And I'm so glad I took that leap of faith.
Yeah. The world gave you that push. And
it did.
To go
it really, really
and
did.
It alone.
Which absolutely. Always because good. I'm quite adverse to risk. So I was contemplating, I'm like, you know, you think of all the worst case scenarios, don't you? Suppose I don't make any money, suppose I end up homeless, you know, really extreme things. So I feel I had to have that push, and it was kind of make or break once I was made redundant. I'm like, I could get another job. And in fact, I did have a few interviews, and I remember there was one particular job I had a second interview for, and I also had a deadline. I just made the transition to freelance, and it was going okay, but I was nervous. And I remember thinking, okay, I can either commit to this deadline for my client and continue along the path of freelancing, or I can go to this job interview for this job that was decent enough, but wasn't what I really wanted. And it was Richard, actually, my husband, that said, "Hun, you've just started. Give yourself time to at least give this a go. At least go at it for at least a year and see where it takes you, rather than throwing the towel so early."
Yeah.
And I remember cancelling the interview, and she wasn't very happy. She's fair
no,
enough.
Hey, no. But,
yeah,
I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad.
It's important, as you've kind of mentioned, family life, you had young children at the time, and but having at least a supportive somebody behind you who's like, come on, you can do this, give it a go. Why? Because left to our, I'm a bit like you, I'm risk averse, and left to our own thoughts and judgments, I would just be probably sitting in my house every day, just in case. But having someone who can kind of challenge you a bit, and push you and be like, you've got this, you can do this, look at all the things that you've done. Because sometimes we forget, we suddenly forget all of our achievements, before, when we're just like, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. But having someone in your, as we say, corner team,
in your corner,
who's really there to champion you,
it makes a huge difference. And I always say to him, I really attribute you a lot to my success in this, because he was. And also, I think as well, you feel when you're in a partnership, you have to kind of pull your weight. Like, I'm it felt like quite a lofty goal, like, who am I to think I can just swan off and work for myself when we've got bills to pay? We bought a house as well, and we hadn't been living there that long, so that felt almost like, this is really irresponsible, let me just go and get a job.
And then sometimes you think, when you've got a yearning to that freelance life is calling you, you're working in your job, and it might be a great job, people are loving you, but actually it's just not what I want to do, I'm not fulfilled. This is not me. And then you might end up, a year later, I might have left anyway.
Exactly.
A year behind where I could have been now. So
absolutely.
Gold stamp of approval. Well done.
Thank you.
Brave and courageous. And that's what we
thank
love.
You.
Yes. Love it.
So can you give us an insight into some of the people that you have contact with? Who comes to you for copywriting services, and do you have a large client base, and can you give us a sneaky peek into your client base?
Sure. So I've worked with and written for most of the, I was in Superdrug the other day, and I was like, I've worked for nearly all of the Afro hair brands on the shelves. So I had quite a long ongoing relationship with Cantu, maybe about 3 to 4 years, just continually working. So any of their copy requirements was produced by myself. Who else? ORS, Organic Root Stimulator. Marielle I've written for. As I Am. Kericare, did lots of stuff for Kericare as well. Tresemme, which is obviously like a European hair brand. And then also independent, smaller solopreneurs. I worked with Dion Smith, hairstylist. I've done quite a lot of stuff for Dion, and also Joy Adenuga, who's a makeup artist, who recently, I think it was during lockdown, so maybe what are we now, maybe 3 years ago, she launched a range of beauty tools like makeup brushes and the likes of, and I worked with Joy on launch, and every so often I kind of work with her on a project by project basis. If she's launching a new range, she'll get in touch with me to work with her on writing the copy, and also doing a bit of PR as well, so trying to approach publications to get her products featured in those publications.
We got
big
some
names.
We've asked this question before. People are like, not really sure if I can give any names.
I'm proud of the work I've done.
So you should be.
Absolutely.
And what kind of things, what kind of services are you providing for your clients? Is it, do you kind of lean more heavily towards, I don't know, like the social media side, as you said, kind of like press releases, or is it
yeah.
a plethora of different?
It's a plethora, but I must admit, I've got my favourites. I love, as much as I love social media copy, I think it's quite bitty. So I tend to like to do deep dives or write long form content. So I prefer things like newsletters, mm-hmm. Press releases, where I can really kind of give more, give the reader more information about the product or project.
Yeah.
I've even done things like, written scripts, like if okay. brands are organizing an event, I've written scripts for the host. I love doing that because I love assuming other people's voices. It's kind of okay. I love ghostwriting, which is something okay. I've done as well. Yeah, I've written blogs for CEOs or brand owners, and I love doing that because I'm like, oh, how do they speak, how, what words would they use? So yeah, so like you said, I do everything. I do everything, but I do enjoy more the long form. And I love working as well with brands who are just launching and are unsure of the like tone of voice that they want to use, the language. I like working on projects from the beginning, from the conception, from the idea stage. Yeah, so
gotcha. And how long do you usually work with a client? Is it short term, long term, or does it really depend?
It really depends. I've worked with, as I said, a few on an ongoing basis. So they'll pay like a retainer fee, and every month you will produce a certain amount of work.
Yeah.
I've written or worked with brands on a project by project basis. So it could be as little as maybe 2 weeks to 4 weeks to years, 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a preference? Do you mind?
Oh, definitely retainer. Going back to that whole thing about security.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I just love the security of working, you know, with a brand on the retainer. And also as well, as I was saying, it can help you. You feel like you have your work has a bit more impact when you're
and
making
you're
decisions.
Relationships,
you're building relationships, and you have your impact in the brand because you're working on things like strategy and tone of voice, and you're the voice of the brand. So
yeah.
it can kind of, yeah, you feel like you're more of a, rather than just a words for hire person. Mm-hmm. You're actually mm-hmm. your role is quite significant to the success of that particular brand.
Yeah, I can imagine actually the quite satisfying to kind of see a brand kind of from the inception to grow,
blow up,
and know that actually I had a role in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing that.
And I think going back to one of the things you mentioned earlier in the introduction was the importance of a copywriter. And yeah, it really helps. Just the next time you go to a shop or you get a press release or you go on someone's page and look at their social media caption. Because, you know, especially now, I think we are drawn to more than just words. There is that connection, that audience, the consumer and the brand connection.
Yeah.
Brands are really, really honing on the fact that they have to make a connection with their audience. So there's that, there's style, you know, you're kind of vying for your audience members' attention, so you have to create impact with the words you use, you know. So I feel it's important. I think because most people are able to string a sentence together, they don't see the significance or the importance of using a copywriter. But I can usually tell when brands kind of take a more DIY approach.
Yeah.
And when I kind of mentor people, I always say that's, you know, that's the easiest way to get a client is just kind of scour the internet and look at different brands and the way they are writing. If it's kind of poorly written or just not impactful, approach them and just say, hey, I came across your page, I love what you do, just wondered whether you would whether you work with a copywriter, and if not, whether you'd be up for doing so. You know,
that's a good tip.
That is a very good tip.
You'll be surprised. In the early days, especially, I got quite a few clients that way. by taking that approach.
Yeah. Intuitive. It's that what's the word? Taking initiative. Having a way with words, you get to be able to basically say, "Oh, I looked on your website and it was rubbish." But
I can help you with that.
So I wonder, I would like to know is, what has been your, I guess, proudest moment as a freelance copywriter journalist, or your biggest success? And there's a part two, because I never asked the part two, and I want to know, how did you celebrate? Because you...
Oh, I like that part two.
If you didn't, then I'll take it into account and say, why not? But
yeah,
biggest success, and how did you celebrate that?
You know what? I'm really rubbish at celebrating stuff, but we'll get on to that. biggest success, I think, with working with Cantu during the pandemic. And you know what? To be honest, it wasn't necessarily success in terms of copywriting, but it was, there was only three of us on a very small team. Very little by way of resources, and we pulled off this event called the Cantu Curl Awards. From the conception of the idea, we had the previous year before lockdown, 2019, we pulled it off, but we had an in-person event. But on this particular occasion, because of the restrictions, the pandemic, as we know, we had to do it online, and it was really good. It was really well attended. And all the obstacles that we came across, we overcame. And yeah, it might not seem significant, but I felt like that particular year, 2020, we were met with so many challenges with regards to how we're going to, you know, do the things we would do in person. And we managed to overcome. Even like when the George Floyd incident happened and we had to kind of address it, it's like, as you said, knowing the words and the language to use for things of that things of a sensitive nature. In PR you would call it kind of crisis management, but it applies to copywriting too. So I think things like that, and then there's also fiscally just being able to, I think I maybe by year one or two I'd surpassed my salary. And that was, you know, from going from someone that thinks, am I going to even afford a box of cornflakes, to surpassing my salary at my previous job. That was a really big one for me. And that was like confirmation. I can do this. Keep going. Dream bigger.
The sign that you needed to say, it is going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
And I like what you said, that, you know, what is success to you as an entrepreneur in your field,
yes,
as a freelancer in your field, doesn't need to be necessarily what you think the world might think.
Exactly.
You know, success. Your success and your win, and they're things that you kind of need to put on your what do they call it, your touch point, your key point, where you can look back and be like, oh yeah, I did that, this happened.
Exactly.
So how did you celebrate?
Give us something good.
I do remember the Curl Awards. I did actually. I think I've even got it on my Instagram page. I did just drink a glass of wine after, like, relief, it's over. It went really well, etc., etc. Regarding salary, I don't think I celebrated. It was just more of a pat on the back for me. Keep going. But I think, and I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to this. I'm quite guilty of not celebrating my wins enough. And I said to myself at the start of the year, I'm going to really start jotting things down that I can remember. Because I just, especially when you're freelancing, you move from one project and you just jump onto the next.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm not the best at celebrating. I'm not the best at promoting myself, even though my job is to promote other businesses. You know,
it's always the way, isn't it?
That's always the way.
Job, so yeah.
I'm not the greatest. And those are two things I really want to work on. At the start of the year, Rachel, I know you follow my page, but I've created another Instagram page which will just focus on copywriting.
I'm following that too.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to use that as a platform to not only talk about what I do, but also hopefully mentor and inspire other copywriters, freelancers, and just shout about my achievements too.
Good. Well, today's a good start, isn't it? We're gonna
this must be a good omen for the year, right?
Exactly. I don't really get to talk about what I do that much on, you know, on radio or a public platform, compared to when I was editor. And I used to be called upon to speak quite often.
Yeah.
So I do miss this. I do feel that I guess it's not the sexiest of job titles, copywriting, even though it is really necessary.
Yeah.
It's really interesting and it's really important and impactful to businesses, but it doesn't really stand out as, it's a sexy topic. So I get that. But I really do enjoy talking about it.
And I can tell. And you know, it's always one of those things that some people may not find the subject sexy or interesting, but you have a passion for it. And to be honest, I am sure I'm not the only one in business that they may not consider copywriting as a top priority.
Exactly.
But hopefully we're going to change that today. It's going to be a turnaround. 2024 copyright is going to be on top of your list.
And even if people just think, you know what, I can give this a go myself. This is something I've been sitting on for ages, is to work with people who want to do their own copywriting. Okay, that's fine. Let me sit down and work with you on how to create copy that impacts the reader and people remember, and you know, how to use language, whatever your brand messaging is. If your brand is quite young and quirky and fun, you've got to use the language that reflects that. If you're more about educating the customer or the consumer about what you do, you have to use a different, you know, set of language. So things, little nuances like that are important. And I feel sometimes not just brand owners, but even copywriters themselves tend to use quite a blanket approach when it comes to their copy. And you really have to change and adapt according to what brand it is you're working with.
I think as you're talking, it reminded me of, and as you're talking about like job hunting and going on interview, you know, when they say like your CV, tailor it to the employer that you're approaching. And I'm very much getting that kind of vibe, that actually like you said, you've got a young, fun kind of, what's the smoothie company? Innocent.
They're kind of like the first ones
I remember that were coming up with all this weird, as I would call it, why are you writing that on your packaging, like stuff? But actually, it kind of, you're like, you get used to it. Like, people are, they've got personality. Oh, that's
exactly.
I like that brand. They're like this.
Yeah, and you remember it, don't you? As opposed to the other tons of smoothie companies that might be out there. Are gonna associate Innocence with a particular kind of brand style and the way of writing, and so it's really, really important to have that point of differentiation when it comes to creating your tone of voice, your brand tone of voice.
Definitely. So we already speaking about the topic, but I want to ask a question in terms of, and you've touched upon it a bit earlier, but I want you to give us a bit more detail. So for businesses who are going, okay, I've heard you copywriting, what do I need to do? What kind of, can you give us examples of areas where they may need to use your services? So you mentioned newsletters before. What else could a small business come to you for in terms of copywriting services?
So I offer the full spectrum. So whether it be social media captions, because as I said, they're quite different. They're quite different in approach. As we know, social media to kind of capture the attention, you use different type of language. The copy is usually way shorter than what you'd use in a newsletter or a press release or website copy even. And even beyond that, I offer consultancy as well. I can just come and work with you and look at what your existing copy materials are and say, okay, can you keep that, adapt that, make that shorter, length, go deep. You know, I can work with brands as well.
Yeah.
Who just, and I also work with brands on branding as well, which I love. Having a strong visual identity is really important to me. You know, yeah. Coming from my editor background, where I worked with publications and I produced photo shoots,
of course,
and yeah. things of that nature, I'm really, really into using visuals as well to make that impact.
Mm.
So yeah, those are the main things I would say that I do. Proofreading as well. Proofreading. Yeah. If you are insisting, like, you know what, I've got this, I want to use my own copy, but I would like an extra pair of eyes to just read through what I've got for grammar, punctuation, spelling errors. Mm-hmm. I love doing things like that as well. I love copy proofreading. So that's another aspect of the job that I would assist with.
Oh, you could do literally the full suite, like the
man.
I'm loving it. So let's say, okay, I feel like you've done a fantastic job on the show today, and you've got like literally 100 new leads knocking at your door in your inbox.
Yes.
Can you give some advice to someone or to an entrepreneur, freelancer, whoever it might be, who's looking to work with a copywriter?
Mm-hmm.
The best way. What do they need to do to make sure that you understand their tone or their brand or their voice? Like, is there any kind of resources or any tips or tricks that you can give?
Sure. I remember attending a B2B writing workshop many, many years. This is during my editor days. And one of the exercises which I use when I'm speaking to brands about their, you know, the way they want to present themselves, is like, she asked us to, okay, say your magazine is at a party, a celebrity party. Which celebrity is your magazine? Are you Rihanna? Are you Beyonce? Because we know that there's certain, you know, the celebrities have a really strong brand identity. Yeah. So everyone can relate to that, you know. So I'd ask you to kind of sit back and think of your brand like that. Ooh. Are you bad girl Riri with bright coloured hair and, you know, the edgy fashion and quite fiery and feisty? Or are you, I don't know, maybe more Beyonce and like a Southern Belle and quite demure and, but you know when to get fierce. Have a think about what your...
Do they call it persona?
Have a think about your brand identity. Yeah, exactly.
Your persona is going to be.
Yeah, that's just an easy way and a fun way as well to kind of get out of your head and be a bit creative with things. But yeah, things of that nature, I think, helps. Mm-hmm. And just be realistic as well about your... just make sure your messages align. If you say you want to be a luxury brand, make sure everything within your brand presentation reflects that, you know?
Yeah.
And that again goes back to everything has to be consistent. Your imagery has to be on point. Your copy has to be on point. You have to respond to customer queries in a timely fashion, you know? If you're going to position yourself as a certain thing, make sure... your work kind of adheres to that, really.
Gosh, it's a lot to think about. It is.
It is.
To responding to emails. Oh my god.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm really I really watch things like that. I really think, okay, if you're a business, and who did I email? Yeah, and someone took an age to get back to me. I think it was over Christmas. I ordered a print over Etsy, and it was meant to come within 3 days. It took about 2 weeks to come, and I messaged her, and she took 2 days to get back to me. The print finally arrived, and it was amazing, and I kept it and everything, but that really stuck with me.
Yeah,
that really stuck with me. I'm like, it's already like a week and a half late, And I've emailed you and you've taken 2 days to respond.
Yeah. I guess our Mars shopper would have something to say about
that. Oh, yeah, the Mars shopper would have something to say about that.
And yeah, exactly.
You are so right. It's like the experience of me interacting with a brand has to go from beginning right through to end, even after sales. Like, you know, afterwards, are you going to follow up and ask me anything? Make sure I'm happy? All that kind of thing. So, a lot to think about.
Absolutely.
Can I ask a question? I'm going to whisper it because you don't know who's listening. AI.
Oh my gosh.
What impact does this have on copywriting? Now, we've had guests on the show that talk about chatbots, and I'm an avid user, and sometimes it's quicker just to use that and it will whiz through whatever I need to write. Can produce a script, it can produce something.
Yeah.
For social media, but how is AI impacting services and your business?
So far, fingers crossed, I haven't been impacted. I don't think so, anyway. Mm-hmm. And speaking to my peers, the opportunities are still coming. Brands are still approaching them, not even just brands, whatever niche you work in, they're still getting approached and commissioned to work and produce work and write, because I feel that brands or businesses still like that human touch. I was saying earlier about things like storytelling, brand story, those nuances that can only be achieved or produced by, you know, working with someone, a human being. I've used chat, because I was at first I was like, I'm not going to touch it, this is this is going to kill my career. And then I think maybe about a year ago I thought, let me try, and I do use ChatGPT sometimes or AI, more things like helping me to generate ideas or as prompts, and so I have never used it, like I've never just used copy and just cut and paste it. No.
I think that's tell though sometimes. I think I
exactly
like you can tell as a professional. Yeah. I feel like you can look at a website or look at a piece of text and like,
that's got no soul in it.
Right? It's got no soul. You read something from it and then within 2 minutes you've forgot. It's not memorable. But who knows? Who knows? I'm sure they're tweaking and fine tuning it. to enable it to be more human, but at the moment it hasn't really affected me. However, I have spoken to some people who work in marketing who say their companies do use it. So we know it is being utilized by businesses, but so far I don't think it's trickled down to the likes of myself and other freelancers. I think we're at the moment getting by okay.
Good to hear. I guess I want to know then, just looking forward, are there any kind of trends in the industry that we can kind of like look forward to seeing more of, things that you like, things that you thought, I'd like to incorporate that a bit more into what I'm doing, or what's new in the kind of copyright 2024?
I think it's just going to be a progression of the things I mentioned before. I think brands are going to be continually trying to be as authentic as they possibly can and transparent. Within my field, especially, there's a lot of, questioning about things like ingredients, what ingredients are you using in your products. And brands are being forced now to be honest and upfront about that because the questions are persisting. Look, we need transparency. You know, there's rumors that there are harmful ingredients in some of your products. Can you respond to that? So I think it will just be a continuation of that. And as I said, removing the veil from behind the brand and telling us about yourself, your story, who you are, how you came to be, what makes you you. And I love that. I love sharing stories. I love storytelling. I think that's a way to create true connection with your audience. And I can only see that kind of continuing in 2024. And I also think as well we'll see more long form content on platforms. Yeah, as much as obviously video will still be dominant, reels and video content. But I think brands are now realizing. First, it was like keep, you know, make the copy short and sweet because of our attention spans. But I think now people, like I said, they want to know the full story.
Yeah.
So,
TikTok has like 10 minutes for a video and you have story one, story part one, part two.
Yeah,
part three.
Yeah, and exactly.
You literally listen to every single part.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct. Speak for yourself. Some of us do not TikTok. Yeah.
I don't have a TikTok account.
We've not transitioned yet.
I don't either, but yeah. I do watch some of the videos, but I don't. I'm just sticking to Instagram and Facebook for now. And that's another tip I would offer to, writers who want to market themselves is don't spread yourself too thin. Stick to one or two platforms that work for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's best where your clients or where your customers are at, really. I can't see any concern being on TikTok, but maybe... It depended on who they're talking to. They might need to do that.
I've been told it's brilliant for businesses and you can really grow an audience quite quickly. But I just feel like, enough's enough. I spend too much time as it is on social media. So
it takes you in. So it does. Worry. You're right where you need to be.
It does.
As always, time is ticking, but I want to ask one question before we get all your details. And really, if someone wants to hire a copywriter, what are some of the tips that you would give us for ensuring you get the right person?
Sure. So I would utilize platforms like LinkedIn is brilliant. LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter as well. If you look for hashtags, copywriter or freelance writer, you'll get a list of potential writers to work with. Reach out to them, just say you're exploring the idea of using a copywriter, have a initial conversation with them, get them to send examples of their work, because they could be an amazing writer but just not using the language that is appropriate for whatever your requirements are. Definitely ask for details of previous copy they've written. Sometimes as well that can be hard because like for instance I worked with a brand and I think it took about 2 years for the actual work to be published on the website. Sometimes you'll have to like maybe send a Word document or whatever document that work was produced on, and then just have a conversation and get a feel for asked about things as well, like turnaround. How long does it take to typically turn around a piece of work? Because if they're inundated with clients and they may not have that priority to produce your work, but you need it quickly because your brand, you know, it's a fast turning brand and you want to, say, publish a post on Instagram every day or a couple times a day. Just have to make sure that is the copywriter's strength as well, because some people, I'm not the biggest fan of social media copywriting, even though I've done it for plenty of clients. But their strength might be writing white papers or producing website copies. So make sure what your requirements are is compatible with that copywriter's core skills,
Sure. Absolutely.
And then, maybe suggest working on a project basis or just do a bit of content here and there with them and see how see how they measure up.
Yeah.
And if you need them to work on a longer term goal with you, then approach them to do that too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was
You're welcome.
That was I learned a lot.
Lovely. I've still got more questions, but
loads of questions. But
I've got a few more questions that's running my mind. But I'll keep it for another day.
That's amazing. Yeah, I really enjoyed this, ladies. Thank you so much. Really have. It's been lots of fun.
Thank you. And before you leave us, like I said, if there was anybody who is looking or would like to reach out to you, or they may be thinking about dipping their toe into the copyright waters, how can people get in touch with you? Where's the best place for them to find you?
So they can reach out to me via LinkedIn. Just look up for me on Yeah, just search for me on LinkedIn, Keisha Davis. I'm also on Instagram, as I said, under Keisha Copywriter.
Yeah.
You can reach me there as well. I'm rejigging at my website. That's another thing on my January to-do list. It's almost live. So I'm hoping by at least the next 2 weeks that'll be live. But in the meantime, you can reach me via those two platforms.
And it's Keisha with a Y, everybody. Just
so Thank you for reminding me, Rachel. Yeah, K-E-Y-S-H-A. Yeah, that's right. And Davis, D-A-B-I-S.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Keisha. Really appreciate you coming in today.
You're welcome.
Wishing you all the best for 2024. And we'll be looking out for your names on different articles and bits of work and blogs, etc., etc. We'll be looking out for that.
Thank you so much, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Chrissy, am I allowed to call you Christine?
I had a debate about someone at work. They were like, Christine or Chrissy? I said, Christine, thank you.
Christine.
So it depends. If I vibe with you, Chrissy, straight away. It has to be, let's like, put some...
I don't know you like that yet.
Yeah.
I'll take these off now.
Anyway, Miss Chrissy, Christine, keep it here and join us next week for another show, the Business Mix Show. See you then.
Indeed. Keep it colourful.
The Business Mix Show.
I'm a tsunami, rolling with a 10 toes, that's an army. Had to keep it close and tight, keep it on me. Now why are they girly, then they want, then they want. And why then they want? I said, leave me. Time when I step with it, with the goons and me flex with it. A lot of time for me, but the other just like a centipede. But they send for me. I don't give a lot of friends with me, but I'm close with my frenemies. R.I.P. to the brother we lost. Come try me. Said I'm a wave, I'm a tsunami. Pulling with the ten toes, that's an army. But I didn't know that I had to keep it on.
Sunshine. When I do my thing, I got a lot. Officially, I'm your big belly daddy. Technically, you don't need to be with nobody but me. A Van Ar cigar, Jamaican, Huggin, six Benz, Cartier, tint lens. Whoa, I dig your steez, knock knees, trunk full, body all lumped up, lifestyle trumped up, platinum blonde, hazel eyes, it's diamond on a pinky, skin bronze. You with me? She good and plenty, Benz E 320. Me, I pull over, drop that red Range Rover. Shorty was milkshake thick, sporting silk makeup. She had it sewn, flowing on her own. She's the type of girl to put her crew on the map. Anything you want, don't wet that. You